It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
It is time for the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. Tonight we talk manufacturing, or maybe more accurate, saving manufacturing jobs in Illinois. That's what my guest did tonight when she bought Gemini Molding, a framing company in Elgin. The owner was retiring, and instead of shutting down the business, Courtney Wright doubled down on the business. She renamed the company Gemini Builds It, added more employees, and has re-energized the company in their 50,000-square-foot manufacturing center. Courtney Wright is a local entrepreneur who was the founder of CDW Merchants, a design company that did window and store displays for high-end clients like Kate Spade and Club Monaco. In 2016, she sold that business and jumped into the framing and acrylics business, which is where she is today. We'll talk about what she's learned from that business right now. Courtney Wright, my guest in studio on the Download in Chicago Business. Courtney, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks, Justin. Thanks for having me.
So talk about the mood. Let's first talk about this, because I as I kind of teed this up before the news, the idea, I've had a lot of startup entrepreneurs on this program, but I haven't had too many who have acquired businesses. What was the impetus to acquire Gemini Molding?
Well, I did a startup, and that was didn't kill me. It was a successful one. It aged me more than the 10 years I had it, I would say. But when I went out after having a successful sale and knew that entrepreneurship was something I wanted to go back into, the idea was, do I start again and start something from scratch, or do I buy something that's got some movement and some sales, re-energize that, change the culture, and grow it more quickly than starting from dollar one? And at least for now, I decided that to buy a series of companies was the sort of next phase of my career and something that I hadn't done. Mm-hmm. So I looked and created a pipeline. And as it turns out, Gemini Molding at the time was a 10-year supplier to CDW Merchants.
And so you had a relationship with them already.
Right? Yeah, we did for 10 years. In fact, very first order I sold at CDW Merchants, my supplier said they couldn't do it. And I said, well, too bad. I already took the order. And I figured out, I met these guys and they did it. And I had a really long run of successful transactions with them. So I knew more or less what I was getting into.
I mean, for you, I mean, to go from a CDW Merchants, which was a design company, it was window displays and really high end work, and go into framing and acrylics. Are they similar in nature? I mean, as an owner of CDW Merchants and Gemini, is it a natural transition?
Well, there are some things about business that are similar. You know, if you have one person, you have people problems, so to speak. So people is really at the core of any business, I think, and customers probably second to that. The primary difference is, one, I worked a lot in China with CDW Merchants, and we bought and resold things that we designed. Here, we produce. So we buy raw materials, and we actually convert them, create them, assemble them from scratch, all along custom displays, framing, and acrylic fabrication. There are some skills that I have that translate pretty easily. I'm a sales and marketer, and that's the part I handle.
Yeah.
They don't let me near the saws or any of the tools. In fact, one of my guys always says to me, you own one of those machines, and I laugh and say, okay, what can it do? So as long as it can make pretty stuff, I think I can sell it. What's very different is acquiring talent, you know, that's manufacturers.
Yeah, right.
In Chicagoland, where unemployment is so low. Has been a different recruiting skill.
Interesting. I mean, because that would be part of the work of owning a manufacturing business, is trying to not only acquire that talent, but identify that talent, because it is a different sort of skill set. You may be great at sales and marketing, but understanding who's good at actually producing the product, that's another story.
It's an art. What our guys do is absolutely incredible. You know, they're obviously engineering minded people that work in acrylic and wood, but the passion and the understanding of what they bring to it really makes me so passionate about bringing manufacturing back to this country, because this kind of work is you know, quite honestly, undervalued. You know, a lot of our customers don't want to pay the prices that it costs to have, you know, skilled manufacturers with benefits working in Chicago, raising a family. And that's really a point of difference for us is we're a lot faster because we are, you know, locally made. We think we're a lot more creative than things you'll find overseas. We can react on the fly because, you know, I can walk in the back and say, put this molding on or that molding. But really, you know, everybody in our country has been told, go to college, go to college, get a 4-year degree, get in a lot of debt, and then you can get a job. Nobody says grow up and become a woodwork craftsman. Nobody says, you know, come work in acrylic. And that's what I'm really trying to promote for a certain set of people that want to be busy during the day and want to be creative and crafting things from hand. We've got an awesome story.
Is your main competition, when you're talking about customers in design and acrylics and molding, is it overseas production? Is the idea that people can say, I'm going to go online and I'll get something from China and that'll be cheaper or different or quicker, or it's just more in my comfort zone than actually going to the locals?
Yeah, you know, China is in our industry for real. That's a big a part of the competition. Not as fast as what we can do, but, you know, a third the price. Where we have success is Gemini Molding bought a company that was an acrylic fabricator a decade or so ago and really specialized in the museum trade, where aesthetics, quality, bubble-free, seam-free, all these kind of words that are intrinsic to the museum space that a museum curator says, I only need the best, that's the place they played in. So a China solution isn't going to work for them because you can't stick your, you know, Monet painting behind something that's got all right. These little cracks and bubbles in it. So the work we do for the right audience is really, you know, we have limited competition. But if you want to just buy, you know, an acrylic box, well, there's probably 1,000.
I was going to say that. That has to be one of the challenges of running a small business that is in Chicago, that's in this industry, the acrylics industry, is you may have the market cornered on quality.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of customers that are like that may overlook bubbles and cracks and the things that you're mentioning too, because they're like, I just need it next day and I'll go online and whatever's the cheapest dollar that I see, that I'm going to do that. So, I mean, how do you as a company project and convey the fact that there is a difference, there is a quality difference right here in Chicago?
Well, that's really, I think, a big point of difference. The experience that our team brings to the table, we stock over 100 kinds of acrylic. Now, don't ask me to name them or tell you what they all do, but they all have a specific niche. One can retain scratches, and one is specific to UV light. And once you get into a conversation with our people and they ask more questions, you know, maybe that online solution isn't right for the particular thing that you want to put under it. So you may put your precious, you know, piece or artifact at risk because you're not understanding enough about what you're buying.
Mm-hmm.
It's really our job to educate our customers and develop the best solution that works for what they're trying to preserve and protect.
Was it hard for you to dive into something that was somewhat foreign, the idea of learning acrylics and what it means to have a quality product?
Well, for sure, it's been hard. Luckily, I've got
a
thick
skull. Did you bring flashcards home?
Yeah. Well, the acrylic was actually the most familiar part of the business in the wood to me because it's a lot of what I had bought prior. What was difficult for me is coming from a world, you know, we sold our company to a public company called Bunzel back in a couple years ago, and they, like us, were very fast-paced drivers, just run it down, hunt it down, grow the business at any cost, and just keep going. Manufacturing, you gotta kind of go at the pace of the people producing things until you get people believing that we can go faster, grow faster, do more.
Well, I want to talk about that. We'll take a quick break here. But when we come back, let's talk about the bigger issue when you acquire a company, especially when you want to change, is the capital C change word, how you change the culture and the surrounding company. Gemini Builds It is the company. Courtney Wright is the owner. She's in studio tonight. It's a download on Chicago Business. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. Stay with us.
It's business time.
It's a download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. In studio tonight, Courtney Wright. She's the owner of Gemini Builds It. It is a molding company, acrylics, printing, all sorts of things. You know, I mentioned it's funny because in the first segment here, we got really into the weeds, but But the concept of, I mean, who is coming to you as customers when I say Gemini builds it? What are you providing?
Justin, we provide businesses with a series of things, you know, framing, acrylic pedestals, display cases, printing, gallery walls, things that can make their spaces, whether it's their restaurants, their hotels, their museum, their country club, office building, you know, residence hall, look better, you know, and really tell the story. You know, things like we had a story recently, you know, we sell a lot of Cubs related and framed and encapsulated paraphernalia. But a really favorite memory was as somebody who brought their son's baseball from the pitch that was part of the World Series. And the son, you know, 9-year-old little boy, highlight of his entire life, says, "Dad, this is the best night of my entire life, but I want to have it on my wall." Well, nobody ever thinks about how you frame a baseball. And we were able to put the Cubs pennant, the Cubs picture, the signed autograph, the ball, all this into a custom created shadow box. And it's now on his bedroom wall and he kind of worships it every night. So it's really creating things that are special, that people want to preserve and protect some meaningful memory or make a space look really great.
For you, you acquired this company, and you had just mentioned in the first segment that you had had a business relationship with the company. When acquiring a company, what goes into that? What are the challenges that go into it? Because you have your own ideas of what you want to do, especially when it comes to manufacturing, maybe give it a little bit more of a style and a culture. What do you have to do to make that happen?
So one of my mentors told me that when you acquire a company, you have to go fast. And I don't think any of the 55 or so people that work there would say that I do anything slowly. But I think they were pretty surprised when about week two, I came in and gutted the place. And I did so really intentionally. I really wanted to signal that in order to change a culture, which is what we were going to embark on together, we really needed a fresh start. And so right down to the walls, we kind of got rid of everything, all the office furniture, every bit of art.
So the design, everything that was in the building.
Everything was in the building. I said, we are going to clean this place from corner to corner, paint this place, redecorate it, and have ourselves a fresh start with a new logo, a new website, and a new identity. And they said, well, you know, it's a 40-year-old successful company. Why would we do that? And I said, exactly that. We need to question every single thing we're doing. The market is changing. Our customer base is changing. People's needs are changing. And if we don't change faster than them, we'll be out of business.
You had experience in being a startup. Why not start up in this business? Why acquire a company? Of course, there's institutional knowledge in there, but I mean, there is talent in this town, and you could start your own
for sure
acrylics company,
absolutely,
or printing company.
I certainly could do that. I think for me, you know, there's a lot of equipment and know-how, and our people are absolutely the smartest and best at what they do. Completely believe that. We've got institutional knowledge that just, you know, we couldn't replace, not in the timeline of what I see growing the company. And really, the reality is, Justin, this is the starting company to something else that will be added on and tucked on and rolled on so that we get a company that's bigger, that has more capabilities, that will service our customers better and create a better opportunity for every single person that works there if they want it.
For you, I mean, you come in, there is a culture that's already in place. The first step is to clean it and change it and redesign the workspace. What else goes into re-energizing and motivating a company to look towards change?
Yeah, so one thing that we did was I said, you know, let's have a monthly town hall, and we're going to get together and we're going to talk about everything from how we make money to who these new faces are you're seeing around the table. And I think people were ghostly white, and I said, what's wrong? We're just talking about our sales. And in 7 years was the last company meeting, 7 years ago. So every 7 years, whether you needed it or not, you were going to hear how we were doing. And I said, no, we're going to do this every 7 days and every 4 weeks. We're going to sit down as a group. We're going to have, you know, whether it's a meal or some donuts or just some time to talk about the financials, the culture, our goals, how we're doing against things. And that was a big culture change. You know, the prior owner didn't believe in sharing information, and I totally believe that I'm not doing this alone.
What's the benefit for you as to share this information?
Well, the benefit is that I believe the more people know, the more they can do their job in a way that helps drive bottom line improvement and performance. They didn't know how we made money. They didn't know if we were making money, and they certainly didn't know what the sales of the company were. And I don't know that they all understand or really care about it, but certainly people, I've seen some incredible shining stars that are asking questions and they're engaged and saying, hey, I had these ideas, but the last guy wouldn't let me do them. And I said, bring them on. Recycle all your old ideas. They're all good as far as I'm concerned.
You know, you are running a business and, yeah. and the idea is the bottom line. And you've already had success with your startup with CDW Merchants. I mean, how much of do you have to protect, or not protect is not the right word, how much do you have to drive that home that this is a business? At the end of the day, we are trying to make money. The culture is important and the motivation of the employees is important, but at the end of the day, it's about the bottom line.
Well, I think that they're hearing a lot about that. You know, we have decided to invest a lot, whether that's in people. We bought a printing company back in December so that really we became a one-stop shop for anything that was needed. And people now need to say, look, we've invested a lot from everything from a facelift to new people to new talent, new, you know, pieces of equipment. Now it's time to sell stuff and make money. And that's everyone's up for the challenge. They just need to know what's the goal, what are the measurements, and how are we getting there? And that's really what I need to spend more time with them, helping them see the vision that I see, because I know we can get there.
Manufacturing has been a touch point, not just here in the state of Illinois, but the country. We talked a lot about it. You know, a lot of what I read about you today is about trying to make manufacturing cool. I know that's kind of a strange sentence, but the idea of moving manufacturing to what we know about it, the way that it's sort of been couched to a different type of company, a different sort of, I guess, gloss to it. How do you do that? How do you get behavioral changes, not just for the people that work there, but the consumers, that manufacturing is a different kind of industry?
Well, I think you really have to look at all your people. So, you know, one thing I did, which was really so pleasurable for me, is ride with our delivery truck drivers. You know, we've got a fleet of 10 trucks and 10 drivers that drive around the Midwest delivering our products. And I really got to see, first of all, I think it's one of the hardest jobs we have in our business because they're hauling all of this glass and acrylic and heavy oversized frames. And I saw them see 24 customers a day and what they go through to make sure everything's ticked and tied and delivered accurately. And all of a sudden they started showing up and saying, hey, did you see our old logo was on this? And I don't have the right T-shirt and I need my new uniform. And now they're showing up. Well, I've got 300 deliveries happening a week. If that experience is better for our clients, it's way better than me, you know, saying something to two customers a week. So it really starts at the ground up, you know, working with the people, going in the back, understanding what they're doing, and having our management team really be part of it, which is new. They you know, kind of were corner office people before. They sat in the front, and now everybody's sort of in the back, working together, learning everyone's job so we can each show each other how to do it better.
How important is it? Last question, just about being a Chicago-based business. I mean, to be an Elgin, to do manufacturing and framing and acrylics and molding here in the Midwest. It can be done anywhere, as we just talked about. Your competition is overseas. How important is it to be known as a Chicago area business?
Well, I think it's really important. I think that all of the big customers in Chicago and big clients should feel really vested in investing in our own economy. I certainly have a passion for it as somebody who's lived here for 30-something years, that if we don't spend money in this town, you know, Wisconsin's being very aggressive and relocating a lot of manufacturers. What's going to be left if we don't support our own people in our own town and our own communities? We can put our money anywhere. But to me, there's a real, at this sort of midpoint in my life, a real passion and excitement about doing it in my hometown and doing it with people that are so good. And I know we can have something really successful.
Courtney Wright is the owner and operator of Gemini Builds It, a framing company based in Elgin, where they have their 50,000 square feet manufacturing center. She acquired that company just a year ago. I mean, just within a year. Courtney, thanks so much for being my guest tonight and sharing your story here in Chicago on the Download on Chicago Business.
Justin, thank you. And don't forget to mention WGN for 25% off your Cubs printing.